Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports.
I apologize in advance if I am out of line here.
Brace yourselves, boys. We're going in.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
I'm not reading, I'm just looking at the pictures.
Welcome to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports.
And I'm your host, Matthew Long, here for the Cold Hard Truth on Sports here on MRN Broadcasting, powered by blogtalkradio.com. Welcome everybody who's listening in tonight. We made a few adjustments to the show. The show will only be 2 hours tonight. There will not be any overtime segment. If you want to call into the show, 347-237-5539. But quick thing, thank you for everybody that does take time to listen into the show each and every week. Very much appreciate it. I look forward to talking with you guys every week. Sharing what I've seen in the world of sports and elsewhere. Some of you listen live right through Blog Talk Radio. That's an awesome way to do it. Some thousands of you have downloaded the Blog Talk Radio app and listened to the show via the radio app. And then a lot of you, an overwhelming number, listen to the podcast version of the show, which is great. You know, that's the one thing I think is probably more beneficial than anything else with the show, is the fact that you can, at any point in time, pull up your mobile device, pull up your laptop, your work computer, or anything like that, and you can just listen to the show. Just listen to the show. So I really do appreciate that. We do have some partners that have been that we've been syndicating the show, and if you check over out on social media, you'll be able to see a few of the places that we're going to be syndicating at. Yeah, I'm getting messages in. If you want to message in, that's cool. A lot of stuff we got to get to. We have a shortened show tonight, but a lot of stuff I'm going to get to. So if you do want to message in, the handle for the show on any social media, Facebook, whatever, Twitter, at the CHT on Sports, or you can message me directly at Matt Long Sports. Yes, I will get to that here in a few minutes. I'm seeing a lot of messages coming in. So, you go ahead and keep rolling in the messages if you want. I'll have to read back through them, on the break at the top of the hour here in about 10 minutes. But after the break, I'll get into some of the stuff that you guys are talking about. I will get into, tonight, the Olympics. The Olympics are in day five or four or five of the Olympic Games. Michael Phelps won his 19th gold medal, and the U.S. men's boxing team is undefeated. They're 4-0 right now. Still early, but they're looking pretty promising. They only qualified half as many fighters as they could have, but they got five in there, five guys, two girls, two women, and they've been kicking ass, so that's great. I'll get into that. I want to take a couple minutes here real quick. I know a lot of you have seen this weekend, in the beginning of this week, some breaking news that I put out. I'm happy to report to you guys. My source is close to, it was a 2014 Nike Prospect of the Year And he's the current WBO Latino lightweight champion of the world, Felix Verdejo. He was involved in a motorcycle accident on Sunday around 5:44 in Puerto Rico. He lost control of his motorcycle. It's a dirt bike. And went for a tumble. Something that has killed many people. Broken bones. You know, I mean, he is very fortunate. He was able to get away from the situation with some minor lacerations, scrapes to his face, and a bump to his head. I cannot say how important it is for people to wear helmets when riding a motorcycle. You know, the fact that he wore a helmet, which most people in Puerto Rico don't, is probably what saved his life. So, tough, resilient kid. From what I'm told, he may be out of the hospital as soon as Wednesday. They might release him. So, here's hoping for the best. I know that he got a lot of support there in in Puerto Rico. A lot of boxers, friends, family, like half the island showed up to Central Medical, where he was rushed to. So, from the reports I was told that there was a fellow motorcyclist that was riding with him that applied some aid to him. An ambulance came, paramedics applied aid to him. They rushed him to the hospital and he was in stable condition. So I don't have the full story on how it happened or what it happened yet, but we're hoping and wishing for a full recovery. There is no timeline right now for return. I can tell you that. They're just going to take it one day at a time. So, but that's all I have on that. When I get more information, I will be sure to pass that along. I'm just happy, you know, I'm just happy to hear the kid's okay. You know, he's a smart kid. I forget what he was studying. He's been going to college. He's 23. I think he's close to graduating there with a degree in Puerto Rico. He's been boxing. He's been trying to, his last fight, he said he spent more time concentrating on it, which, you know, some people kind of worry about. Athletes have a tend to wander at times if they don't see the end goal, if the picture isn't clear. On the island there, it's easy to get distracted. Beautiful people, beautiful places, and there's a select few things to do. A lot of them are laid back, you know? So my hope for him, hopefully he can get off the island and focus on his training either in New York or here in Florida or California or Vegas, somewhere where he can just not have people around that are going to distract him. I think that's some of the stuff that needs to be worked on. So, let me take a look here. So for some more details on that, you can head over to the chtonsports.com. We got a bunch of stuff up over there. You will see Kevin Crest's article is up over there, his new one. 4 weeks to go to college football kickoff. First look at the ACC. Awesome article. That's up over there, and or you can find it also on his blog at kevcrestsports.blogspot.com. But it's also available over on the website. You know, I like how he puts those – he takes a look and a breakdown at the schedule, who plays who, you know, strength of schedule, and kind of gives a different – a little bit different perspective of what the season is to expect, what people are ultimately going to get from the football season. So that is up over on the website as well. All right. Coming up here against the top of the hour. I'm going to go to break on the other side of the break. I have a couple guests that we're still waiting on some confirmation on. And we'll get into the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame game. A few people that wanted to talk about the Rays. Okay. And the Bucks. Absolutely. I'll speak on both of those. Absolutely. So I'm going to go do a quick break. In the meantime, head on over to Creative Loafing Tampa Bay. Just type it in. Creative Loafing, like a loaf of bread, Tampa Bay. Just Google it, or let me see. If you just go over to the social media site too, over on our social media page, on our Facebook page, you got it right there. You can just click on that link, and it'll take you on over, and you can vote for the best of Tampa Bay. We've been nominated in several different categories. The show was nominated in Best Local Radio Show and Best Local Podcast. And myself, I was nominated as Best Local Radio Personality, Best Local Sports Writer, Best Local Blogger, Best Local Columnist, and Best Local Follow on Twitter. I didn't think my Twitter was all that special, but someone nominated me, and I appreciate it. So. More power to you. I appreciate that there. So you can see them up over on social media page. I just reposted that link, so you should be able to go over there and vote if you want to vote. Again, we're in those several different categories, or you can vote for, you know, a number of different things. On the section that we're in, it's people, places, and politics. So we're kind of in the middle part. But you can vote on politics as well there. And some places like what city is the best in Hillsborough? What's the best county in Tampa Bay? Kind of stuff like that. If you want to vote on that, you can do. I'm just saying they're going to move the race day over to Hillsborough. So, I mean, obviously, we know the answer to those questions, but that's not to offend anybody that does not live in that area. What's best to you may not be best for someone else. It's just everybody. Just float your boat, whatever floats your boat, man. So that's up over there on social media. Going to break quickly here, and on the other side of this break, like I said, we're going to get into the NFL camps as well as the Hall of Fame and Hall of Fame game, well, or lack thereof. You're listening to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports here on MRN Broadcasting, powered by blogtalkradio.com.
Spectrum Technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
Okay.
Special technique of shadow.
Jay- James Bell brings you a weekly show about boxing on Sunday nights at the MRN Broadcasting Network on Blog Talk Radio. The fights, the fighters, the business, and more get touched on during the show, and guests call in to speak on what they want in reference to the topic at hand or anything dealing with the sport. So be sure to catch the Boxing Source radio show every Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the MRN Broadcasting Network.
A long time ago, there was an ancient prophecy from the outermost edges of space that knows no boundaries. This fall, Earth as we know it will never be the same. One man, one weapon. Critics are calling it the best comedy of the year. From the makers of the Internet, this is his last chance to save the world. But then, the world does not exist.
Man, forget all that. Just download my special, man. Or get the DVD when it's available.
They will search for answers.
The link's posted below.
Football talk like you've never heard it before. Possibly one of the funniest podcasts in sports today. That's right, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Cali Mike, Chi-Town, Carcel Mathis, and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. They give you a different perspective of football that may not be found anywhere else. You may also catch the callers with some classic lines as well.
There's a blackout level.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Okay, I know you're in front of your computer right now. Look it up.
I'm about to look it up right now, all right?
National blackout level.
I never said national blackout level, liar.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Florida blackout level. Whatever blackout level you want to look up, look it up. Wait. You can't compare a fifth-year quarterback to a 20-year quarterback. How do you compare Cam Newton to Peyton Manning? That's impossible.
I don't even think Cam Newton's going to get a contract extension.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the worst franchise in the National Football League. The worst franchise in the National Football League.
The difference between Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton is Jameis Winston has the ability to lead a team to a championship.
Once again, people, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night on the MRN Broadcasting Network. Better than diamond rings. That's why
we're here to sing football. Jameis Winston is just stupid.
To the cold hard truth on sports here on MRN Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com. If you're just tuning in, thank you for tuning in. Tonight is only going to be a 2-hour show. I know you guys are used to 2 hours, then the overtime segment. There will be no overtime segment tonight. For those of you that just normally listen to the show live, well, congratulations. The show will be the same length for you, but the podcast version will only cover the first 2 hours. There will be no overtime segment. And I know it's sad. It's sad, but what are you going to do, huh? You can't win them all. Can't win them all. I was taking a look here just over some of my reminders. Now I find it so interesting. If some of you are too young to remember Cecil Fielder, anything like Cecil, that was Prince. Prince is his son, and his son is getting ready to retire. But Cecil was this monster of a guy. Just looked like a defensive tackle playing football or playing baseball. You know, massive dude. He was quick on his feet, really athletic, at least early on. And he could smash the ball miles. It was always fun. He's a fun guy to see, you know, to see play. I think Moses' career he spent in Detroit. So his son, Prince Fielder, kind of made his come up in a similar fashion, but has struggled with neck injuries. And since his first neck injury was a couple years ago, he just has not been the same. For those of you that, for those of you following Olympic sports, world number one Serena Williams of the U.S. loses to Ukraine's Alina Stavolina, 6-4, 6-3 in three rounds in the Olympics tournament. The Williams sisters actually, this was the first Olympic that they didn't win gold in doubles. They're tripping. But men's gymnastics, get some gold going on there. Swimming, got gold there. And like I was saying earlier, the men's boxing team sitting at 4-0 right now, undefeated through the round of 32. To talk a little bit more about that, and I wanted to get into Andre Ward's fight this weekend, which he won by unanimous decision over Alexander Brand. Let me bring on the boxing editor of the Cold Hard Truth on Sports, as well as the host of The Boxing Source, James Bell. How you doing tonight, James?
Yo, what's going on, Matt?
I'm hanging in there. I am beat. So if people are listening like, this dude sounds tired this week, I am. I am tired. Exhausted. It's been one of those weeks, though. Hey, I got a Prius. Is that the... I don't know if that's one thing another man should ever tell to each other, but I got a Prius, a hybrid.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's something that you should admit, though.
it's for my wife, though. It's her car now. She works an hour. She drives an hour one way to work. So she's been driving my car, and I have a Camry hybrid, and I love my car. I really like my Camry hybrid. You know, no, I'm not getting paid by Toyota. I just like my car, you know, and I've been driving the Cadillac, the CTS, which it's a sports car and it can move, but you know, when you're doing outside marketing and stuff, not the most ideal vehicle. Plus, you know, it's really small for a Cadillac. I honestly was, cause I went and got the stuff done this morning for the Prius, for the tags and title and stuff. And, my wife's excited cause I got her, you know, the plates, the special plates. And, I'm not gonna lie. I got home, because we had talked about, you know, it was crazy, those weird things you have conversation as a couple, and we're like just driving by. She's like, well, how much would I really like to get Tampa Bay Ray plates? I want raised plates, raised plates, raised plates. I'm like, cool, cool. So first thing I thought today is, you know, I got to pay another $30 to get raised plates. Cool. Give me the raised plates. So I got the raised plates and I get home. She's like, did you get a plate for a special cause? And I was like, what? This is a new conversation. I was like, what cause would you want it to be for? Hoping she'd be like, I don't know, this or this, but they have race plates. And, you know, she's like, I don't know, breast cancer, mental health. Like, she racked up a list of like seven things. And I'm like, I feel freaking retarded now. I'm like, I got you something. It's none of that stuff, though. And she went out and she was all excited because they were raise plates. She was like, I didn't even know they actually had raise plates. I just thought that was somebody put a sticker on it. And I was like, nope, it exists. It's there. But it's kind of that letdown. I was like, listen, I'm 6'2", 250 pounds. And I'm riding around in a freaking Prius half the day. And I got raised plates on it for you have to be excited about this. Like, there has to be some sort of end game surprise for me tonight. I don't think that should be negotiable, but she laughed. She thought that was one of my jokes, but it's pretty serious. Anyways, two letdowns in a matter of 20 minutes. I figured, shit. Let's go get on the radio show before where this gets worse. Cut bait. You know who hasn't cut bait is the U.S. men's boxing team, 4-0. Did you see this? Did you see them being 4-0 at this point through the round of 32?
I didn't expect them to be, 4-0 past 32, but I mean, you know, they got a couple of good candidates out there that could, win medals. So, at least, a couple, a few of them would at least get this far. I think a lot of people are putting a lot of stock in Shakur Stevenson being one of those top guys out there to win a medal in U.S. boxing. So, for those listening, be on the lookout for him to make some noise here as the competitions pick up.
Now, Carlos Balderas is the welterweight. I think he's got some more media attention, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that Shakur seems to be the better prospect. Now, I've watched both of them the last couple of years. They both competed in the World Series of Boxing the last two seasons for the U.S. knockout. And they've fought fairly well. They've taken their losses here and there. But I thought one of the most impressive things is because the AIBA opened up boxing in the Olympics to pros, that we might see some more of the pros try to take advantage of that. It has kind of been, some of them just felt like, hey, that's more, the amateurs' spot. We don't want to take their spotlight. We don't want to take their, their limited opportunities to get exposure. But Balderas fought a pro from Italy and ended up beat him by unanimous decision and eliminated him from the Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah, he was able to, get that win against him, and I think he also fought a Japanese guy too over the weekend. But he was able to get a unanimous decision in that fight.
Yeah, it's because the second fight was today. Let me see. Let me pull up his. He had his. The first fight was. That was a round of 32, and he fought. I had it up here. Let me see the full bracket. Yeah, he fought a dude from Kazakhstan. This guy that he fought from Kazakhstan, I remember this kid because I remember that last name. This guy fought in the World Series of Boxing. I seen this kid that he beat. The guy is just, he was pretty relentless when I watched him. He fought against Jose Rosario. I want to say his name was Jose Rosario for the Puerto Rico Thunder. Rosario didn't qualify for the Olympics. He did qualify for the Pan Am Games last year. So he did fight in the Pan Am Games, but he did not qualify for Rio. I think Puerto Rico only sent two athletes this year, it seems like, from what I can see. Well, volleyball. They always send volleyball. Puerto Rico, I think the national sport for Puerto Rico is volleyball. Yeah. It's crazy. People are so into volleyball. Like, literally, I'm like, oh, yo, what's up with basketball? Where can I pick up and get a game? I'm like, I don't know. NBA's on. And then they're like, oh, yeah, did you hear about that volleyball tournament this weekend? I was like, what? You mean like a local bar? No, it's a league. It's a semi-professional men's indoor volleyball. What? Hold on. Semi-professional men's indoor volleyball. Like, there were so many words in that phrase that I have never heard together. What are you talking about? Semi-professional. First of all, I didn't know there were professional volleyball players outside these little tournaments in here and the Olympics. But semi-professional volleyball, and it was men's volleyball indoor. Like,
indoors.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, especially indoors in Puerto Rico of all places. I'm like, if anything, you'll play volleyball outdoors in Puerto Rico.
Who wants to be indoors in Puerto Rico, you know? The whole point of being in Puerto Rico is to be outdoors.
Yep.
That is the whole attraction of Puerto Rico, outdoors. Because indoors, there's no air conditioning. Maybe outdoors, where you got a breeze, the beach. Yeah. Breeze, beaches, and bitches. That's what you got. You got that outdoors.
Yeah.
Why are you inside?
Yep.
No need for that. So I caught Andre Ward this weekend. I caught the replay of it.
Okay.
I saw a lot of people that are now like abandoning the bandwagon for Andre Ward because he took this guy took him to a decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people are a bit too quick on this because although he didn't knock him out and there were times where, you know, I mean, the good shots he landed weren't flush shots. You know, they just weren't solid. It was like the same thing that we saw with Keith Thurman. You know how he was hitting Sean Porter, but you know, he wasn't getting him flush. Like, it looked like he got him with a good hook, but it ended up being his forearm or bicep that actually did hit him in the face. You know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing. Like, he was getting it with it, but it was just like the knuckles would graze his chin, and it wasn't like he wasn't getting like the full force of his hand behind it. So they were more grazing punches. He got full points for it, but they weren't doing damage. So, you know, he won by unanimous decision, but I think he showed us that, you know, like some American boxers that we really got to know well, he can box. And that's one thing that, like in the heavyweight division especially, because he's a bigger guy, you know, he could probably fight light heavyweight too. I don't think he should. I think he's good where he's at. But he could probably move up to light heavyweight at some point.
If
he
could
figure Andre Ward.
Well, he, is at light heavyweight. It's just that
he fought at light heavyweight? I thought he was a super middleweight still.
Nah, he's not a super middleweight. These fights that he's having are at light heavyweight.
That kind of explains some of the power then.
Yeah, so that's what the agreement was in reference to, fighting Sergey Kovalev coming up on November 19th, is that they, signed an agreement to have two fights starting from, the beginning of this year until the matchup comes up in November 19th. So Kovalev fought John Pascal, and then he, recently fought Isaac Chalimba, while Andre Ward fought, Alexander Brand, and he also had, his other fight, there where he was able to get, another win, before this fight came about. So it's just like these two, basically going to be going at each other here on November 19th. But, with Andre Ward fought Sullivan Barrera, earlier, in March, and then fought Alexander Brand, while Sergey Kovalev fought John Pascal and Isaac Chalimba. But, he's been at light heavyweight since the basically returned to the ring in 2015, because he was actually over the super middleweight limit when he fought Paul Smith in June of 2015.
Well, that's good. I think people want to compare him in ways to Roy Jones. I don't see it at all. He has his stance just alone is just way better. Roy's stance was always so awkward, but he was such an athlete, He had such quickness and good reflexes and power behind it that it he could get away with putting his face out there, I don't think Ward has those same reflexes. His boxing skills are really good though. I like the way he set his opponent up this weekend, and I think too many times people don't understand that, warm-up fights don't mean that it's just a guy I'm going to knock out. Warm-up fights are also, let me test how far I can go in the fight. I'm going to clearly win the fight. We'll take it to a decision. So I don't have any issue with him taking this fight to a decision. It's just him exercising a different way. It was a warm up fight. Nobody expected him to lose. I think too many people were expecting a knockout, and I don't have a problem with him, just winning by a decision, unanimous decision. I think I saw enough from him in the way of his boxing skills, and that he'll be able to get around in the ring, and he can outbox, most of the guys in his weight class.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's going to carry over here into this upcoming matchup against Sergey Kovalev. I mean, he's more technically sound than Roy Jones is. Roy Jones has had, overall athletic ability, and he basically relied on his reflexes. And by the time his reflexes basically, went down, then, that pretty much signaled the, downfall of Roy Jones' career. I think with Andre Ward, he's more of a guy that's technically sound and relies on those type of abilities to have more of an advantage in the ring compared to his opponents. And so I think that's going to carry over here against Sergey Kovalev and, make him be the general favorite in the fight. I mean, you would think with Sergey Kovalev being the, you know, the defending light heavyweight champion with three belts there in that division, that still isn't enough to, you know, convince a good amount of people that, you know, he'll have the upper hand in this upcoming fight in November.
So do you think Sergey Kovalev is going to have the upper hand? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think it'll be Andre Ward.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think people are just reading too much into him not getting a knockout, and that's not, again. That shows you the difference between fans that just watch boxing and fans that understand boxing. Too many people were like, "Oh, we didn't get the knockout." Well, yeah, that's not what it's about. How does it go? The sport of boxing is about hit and not getting hit.
That's correct.
So
it's boxing. It's not fighting. It's boxing. So
it's not about knockouts. We like knockouts. They're fun to watch. I mean, who doesn't like seeing someone get knocked out? I mean, when I saw Amir Khan get knocked out, I was like, "Ooh," you know. And then I was worried for a second. I was like, "I think he might have died." And then it's like, "No, he's not dead."
Yeah, exactly.
He got Pacquiao. I was like, because I felt that same thing about Pacquiao. I'm like, "Is he dead?"
Yeah,
get worried.
When he caught that counter shot by Marquez, man, yeah, he was laid out flat in that one.
His body when that punch, like, his body defied gravity in ways. Like, it was supposed to move in a certain direction, turn. It just, all momentum stopped. The life force was drained from him. And he was just slumped. Like,
yep.
Slumped, you know? I got worried quicker in that one. Because he fell on his face, too. Like, and didn't.
Yep.
It wasn't like, move my arm. And he was there for a minute. And, you know, he hasn't been the same since that. You know?
No, he hasn't. He really hasn't. And I think he was basically, you know, he's been reluctant to, you know, fight the way that he usually, you know, fights, you know, ever since that fight. I mean, he did have, you know, a couple of performances against Chris Algieri and, you know, that other performance against Timothy Bradley. But, you know, ever since then, well, ever since that Marquez fight, you know, he hadn't really been fighting that same type of style since then. Because he knows by doing that, he's prone to, you know, a mistake. And he basically got caught, you know, with the same type of, kind of feint beforehand. That happened in that first knockdown that he suffered. He got caught with a feint and dropped his guard. You know,
that's what Floyd exposed in their fight. It's that he put that right hand right down the middle, and he stuck him with a couple straight right hands, and that's what he got knocked out with, and it was obviously enough to where Pacquiao didn't fight the same the rest, even in the Floyd fight, you know.
Yep. Yeah, he was reluctant to do what he wanted to do in that Floyd fight because he was waiting for that right hand. So, of course, so I'm like, yeah, that's been something that's really affected him. And that's why, you know, I feel that Manny Pacquiao himself is, you know, playing it safe and his preference to fight Jesse Vargas, you know, instead of Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people want to see Terrence Crawford right now. I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing, but he made this you know, his last win looked kind of easy.
Yeah.
To say the least, you know, and that's not always the best, because I mean, you want people to watch, and you know, he got screwed on that too. You know, they muscled him into doing the pay-per-view. I don't think he was ready for pay-per-view, to be frank. I don't think he was pay-per-view ready. I mean, he hasn't been able to show that he can have a decent sized crowd outside of Omaha. So why are we pressing him? I think that's all HBO right there. I think they're well, I mean, you said something today earlier today about that. Was it yesterday? Or you think they were trying to slow play a couple of these fights to try to get one last bankroll in before they downsize it some more?
Well, the thing is, in reference to HBO, I mean, HBO really doesn't have that much, you know, left. They're trying to, you know, limit their overall budget in reference to sports. And, you know, with that, what they can't do is they can't spend money on, you know, like fights to be on regular HBO to take a regular time slot. So that's why that Crawford Postol fight was on, you know, HBO pay-per-view, because they said they didn't have enough spots open on regular HBO to televise that fight. You know, so that was the thing about that one.
I think that was just kind of a raw deal, though.
Yeah, I think it was a raw deal, too. I think Aram did that on purpose, actually. You know, they kind of put that on purpose. So that, you know, they wouldn't give the exposure that Crawford really needs first on regular HBO to, you know, get more people to be interested in to watch them.
Listen, Bob Arum is going to mess around, and Floyd's going to get he's going to get signed by Floyd or Oscar De La Hoya, two guys that'll put fights out there.
Yeah, well, I think Floyd with his TNT Promotions is slowly growing right now. He does have Gervonta Davis there. He does have Badu Jack, who is a super middleweight champion. And a couple of other, you know, very good prospects that, you know, could be, stars here in the future. So, I would say Bob Arum has to be on the lookout, because he could lose Terrence Crawford here. And I think that won't be a good thing for him in the next couple of years or so, because Crawford is going to be a big star in the sport. I think he's one of the best pound-for-pound guys out there right now.
I agree. What happened with that?
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, what happened with the mic there for a second? I agree. And the way... I mean, if I was Terrence Crawford, I would shy away from Roc Nation right now. But people come with money. What are you gonna do?
Yeah,
they bring your money at you.
I stay away from. Yeah, even if they threw money at them, I would still, you know, stay away from Roc Nation. You really don't have that much going on in reference to those fighters out there. You know, Andre Ward. Yeah, he has that, you know, guarantee on HBO with Sergey Kovalev, but other than that, what would he have, you know what I mean? And Guillermo Rigondeaux still looking for, you know, that big type of fight. Who else is it? Demetrius Andrade is one of the top guys there in super welterweight at 154 pounds, and he won't be able to get a good title shot against anybody. The Charlo brothers won't be able to face him, and Lara won't be able to face him. And you have Liam Smith, who's about to face Canelo, so he's pretty much out of the loop.
And let me ask you, Liam Smith, how do you think this fight's gonna sum up here with Canelo and Liam Smith? You think Canelo's just gonna get a knockout? He's trying to get an easy belt, or is Liam gonna give a good fight? Because I think Liam Smith's a decent boxer.
I mean, he's a decent boxer, but I mean, I don't think he's something at the level that Canelo can't handle. I mean, Canelo has fought the likes of Floyd Mayweather. He's fought Shane Mosley. He's fought Miguel Cotto. So Liam Smith is not at that level of those fighters. So while it might be something a little bit competitive in the first couple of rounds, I think Canelo will be able to take him. After rounds five or six.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that'll be much of an issue for him.
All right, I'm gonna move on here a little bit. Obviously, this weekend was the NFL Hall of Fame announcement. We have some Doom members inducted into the Hall of Fame. Kevin Green, Brett Favre, Brett Favre. If a guy is snapped given the football and he throws it, it's probably the greatest Brett Favre ever. Brett Favre is the father of Jesus in football.
I mean, he's not the only father of Jesus. He's the father of God too.
Yeah, we're gonna John Madden. I'm gonna get that one down. It's it sounds like a really shitty try, but
yeah, just listen to a few more hours of Frank Caliendo and you'll pretty much get it, because he nails it down every single time.
Yeah, he's been doing that for like 20 years. That Madden voice. So I can get there with George Bush. W. Call me George for short. I can go there with George. Forgot what we were talking about.
Yeah, like we're going to the Hall of Fame joint.
I like to dance at funerals. One of my favorite pastimes. Dancing at funerals. I was just excited for him. I knew it was like the wrong place and time, but he just looked so like happy at a funeral. I'm like, that's awkward, and I kind of feel infectious of it. And he's like, yeah, I know this him, dancing. His wife was like squeezing his hand, like, stop it. And Michelle Obama's like, Barack, what is he doing? Why am I standing by him? Yeah. She was creeped out. She was creeped out. But let me ask you this. I heard somebody make an argument this week, which I don't agree with. Somebody made an argument this week that Brett Favre and Terrell Owens are basically the same player, just in a different position. That for the most part, Owens has had very similar number. He's been to two more Pro Bowls. They've both been an all-decade team. So the stats kind of line up. They're top. They're top in as far as yards and touchdowns, amongst their peers. So you know, they have those similarities amongst them. But Brett Favre was also a 2-time league MVP and won the Super Bowl as a quarterback. And the Super Bowl Terrell Owens was on was a stacked 49ers team. Across from him was Jerry Rice and Steve Young and Garrison Hurst. And it's just a loaded team. It was just, I mean, that year they had Deion Sanders. Was it Deion Sanders, Ahmed Plummer? Who else? They were just loaded.
Ken Owen was on that team.
Yeah.
I think also was on that Super Bowl team. Let me see. What was that? That was, what was that, 20? That was 29, I think it was. Super Bowl 29. When they faced the, when the
Chargers.
They faced the Chargers.
Yeah. And it was just, wasn't a, you know, there was no point in time did I think that the 49ers were going to lose in that game at any point in time. And I know a lot of people kind of question, you know, should the Chargers have been in that game? And but I just find it completely, you know,
Owens was on that squad, though.
Yeah, Owens was, I think it was his second year in the league.
Oh, he must have been, because I think there was like somebody, who else was on that other side, though?
J.J. Stokes was on that team?
Yeah, I think J.J. Stokes was on that team.
Yeah,
Because Rice was on there. John Taylor was still on the team, man.
That team was just stacked. Just kind of looking over some of the guys that were on there.
Hey, William Floyd on there, and Dexter Carter was the receiver. Evan Caffrey was, you know, on the team. Yeah, and McCaffrey was on that team.
No, I guess that was his rookie year.
Yeah.
That was Owen's rookie year. Yep. And I mean, I don't think he made a big contribution.
Nah. Mm-mm.
But I was just saying here, his second year in the league is when he made when Rice tore his ACL. That's when he.
I'm looking at that roster for that year, and I don't see Owens on that roster.
Did they draft him at? Where did he get his Super Bowl from?
Like Terrell Owens, I don't think he even. Because I'm trying to figure out when he was on the Super Bowl team. I don't think he was because
he was on the Eagles. The Eagles.
He was on the Eagles for the Super Bowl, but they didn't win.
But
that
they didn't win. No.
Yeah.
He hadn't won
so
the Super Bowl.
He didn't. Nope.
What? See that?
Right.
Okay, so this guy's argument is even worse. He said they both have a Super Bowl, and I'm thinking like, oh yeah, 96. I guess he was a rookie, you know. I'm looking at this 96 because he was drafted in 96, and that's why I was just thinking, you're like, I'm looking at the roster. I'm like, hold up.
Yeah.
Hold
on.
How could he get drafted in 96 and be on the Super Bowl team? That don't make sense.
Yeah.
He has
he was on that year, actually more than a year, because that was when they won that Super Bowl, that was 94-95 year, and then they had the year afterwards, 95-96, when the Cowboys won it over the Steelers, and then 96-97 is when he got drafted. That was his first year.
Yeah. You know, I don't, you know, Terrell Owens, I think, was a good enough player to where, I mean, you could probably have considered him first ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the best receivers in history from several standpoints. So if that would have happened, I didn't have any issue with that. I mean, he made it to 6 Pro Bowls. He was a first team All-Pro 5 times. He made it to 3 NFC. He was a 3-time NFL receiving touchdown leader, 2001, 2002, 2006. And he was in the 2000s All-Decade team. Those are some pretty good credentials by themselves. Almost 1,100 receptions and almost 16,000 yards. 153 touchdowns. Come on, those are solid, you know?
Yeah, the thing is that I mean, he... here's the thing. I mean, Marvin Harrison was able to get in. No?
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison got in. So, and you would think there, you know, if Marvin Harrison was able to get in, then surely Terrell Owens would get in. But that's like a whole, I mean, I think that's just a whole media thing right there. That's all that was. Because media just really didn't like Terrell Owens.
So would it be safe to say the media hated Terrell Owens more than they hated Warren Sapp?
I think so. Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely.
Because that's kind of the way it seems. I mean,
definitely.
Warren Sapp was
Sapp
really
was able to get in. Sapp was just a guy that, I mean, he wasn't, he was just talkative. I don't know if he was really like, you know, really.
No, he was an out and out dick to media. He really was. Like I've seen like candid shots, and again, that was stuff like before social media and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a lot of these guys would be less popular than they are.
Yeah.
If
but,
you know,
but according to the media, Terrell Owens was worse. So I think that's what, you know, kind of like made it be to where he was, you know, still is looking to, you know, get in that Hall of Fame spot. I mean, it's funny because it's just that, you know, they're not, you know, able to basically get in because of how a few people feel about the guy. It's not really about what he did on the field. It's just how they feel about him off the field.
You think Calvin Johnson is at this point his, you know, retired? Do you think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Ooh, even though he's been like the best receiver, one of the best receivers for a good amount of time. It's just the longevity of it. You know, he kind of is like a step above where Terrell Davis is to me. You know, Terrell Davis had, you know, a few great years or whatever it is, but he just didn't stay in the league long enough. You know,
there was only 2 seasons he didn't have 1,000 yards. And that was his first season, the rookie season, and his third season. He only finished 16 yards short of 1,000. But he had almost 2,000 yards in 2012. It's, I mean, his touchdowns, the great thing is for amount of yards he got, I'm just looking here. This is why they sucked. They couldn't get him in the end zone. 9 touchdowns, 8, 12,
yep.
5, 16, 12, 5. How do you have a guy that gets, you get him almost 2,000 yards, but he only has 5 touchdowns?
Yeah.
How does that happen? Like, this is the most yards like a player's had in a single season and the most mediocre 5 touchdowns.
Yep. I mean, that's how it basically, you know, came up, man. You know,
no
so
wonder
he was
for the rest of his life. Yeah, we're good. I'm good.
Yep, that's how it is. Sometimes with some of these receivers, they get all the yards, but don't end up with the touchdowns. And of course, you know, playoff success also ties into if you are, you know, basically you're shooing for the Hall of Fame or not. So that's another thing that is missing from his resume is playoff success.
Let me ask you this. Randy Moss, isn't he eligible next year?
Yes, he is. It'll be his first year.
And you think he'll go in first year?
Ooh. It would be a real story if Randy Moss is able to get in his first year of eligibility and Terrell Owens is it.
Well, I'd be willing to say that Randy Moss is a much more accomplished wide receiver from all facets than
Terrell Owens. Yeah, I mean,
we're just talking about accomplishment. If you're asking me who is the better receiver, I think Terrell Owens is the better receiver. He has better hands, bigger body. He's more damaged. But Randy Moss, he just had a way to outrun his coverage, catch the ball, and score. Like, he was that threat. He was a bigger version of Antonio Brown. Is now.
Yeah.
That's what he was.
Yep.
So, for kids that don't know who Randy Moss is, he was a bigger version of Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown has way better hands, though. I'll take one of Antonio Brown's hands to 3 of Randy Moss's. He, like, caught everything with his body, but whatever. It worked. When you have somebody throwing to your outside shoulder, just dropping it in the bucket time after time after time, that was like it. You know? They had that over the shoulder is just nothing you can do. Because he could jump up and catch the ball on the outside shoulder, and as a defender, I mean, there's times that they would, you know, put hands on him to stop it, and they couldn't. The ball's placed where no one but him can get it. So, you're just done. The receiver that is the closest to, which is the NFL season, single season receiving touchdown record. There's 2 active players that are somewhat close. Rob Gronkowski with 17. Again, 23 is where Randy Moss was at. Jerry Rice was 22, and 18 is the next closest. And then Dez Bryant with 16. I guess Jimmy Graham's on here with 16, but we could probably agree that Jimmy Graham's not going to get 16 touchdowns anytime soon. In the next 2 seasons.
Yep.
I think that would be a fair assessment of his situation.
Yeah, that's true.
If he wanted to continue winning and help his career, it's Drew Brees. Drew Brees You know, I mean, everybody talks so much about, you know, Tom Brady. Matt, really look at who they've had in New Orleans for receivers. Like,
yeah,
Robert Meacham can't make another squad. He literally gets cut and then goes back to New Orleans and is their top receiver. Lance Moore gets cut, goes back, top receiver. You know, yeah, it's crazy. You know, and that's why I think it was the kid they picked up. Didn't they pick up Heupel? Is that who they picked up?
Who, the quarterback?
No. What's the kid from Stanford? The Saints. They picked up that tight end.
I think it was
Heupel.
I think that's what his name was.
Was it Heupel?
Maybe. I thought that's what his name was.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Cody Flanner. Flanner.
Oh, from the Colts.
Yeah. He was the Cardinal, right? He was he went to Stanford, right? He got drafted the same year as Luck. I thought that combination was going to work out again.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't. It's funny because they drafted Luck. And then they signed, what's his name? The offensive coordinator? Hamill? Hampton?
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring Flanner. And, you know. So it's, I don't, I'm get, they thought they were going to get something going there. And, never really did. My, you know, I'm paying a really close attention to what this year's Colts team is like, because they're in a putrid division, and Luck's been in the league for a while now, and I just feel like they have a guy that is tremendously talented as a quarterback, could be something great, but they're kind of, you know, Matt Stafford-ing the guy, you know? I don't feel like they're utilizing him right. I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating to see because, you know, you feel like, you know, we're working on an offensive line and it never materializes. They never have running backs for him. You know, I get all kinds of speed on the outside. But the guy that's their possession receiver that they should sign to let Pierre Garçon walk, you know, it's they're not signing, you know, defensive guys that are really making sense. And it's just like, I don't know if they're doing what they need to do to get back to the championship or if they're just trying to win.
They're just trying to get by, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You could end up seeing another coaching change there before too long.
What, in New Orleans?
No, in Indy.
Indianapolis. Oh, well, they should have. Well, people thought that they were going to have a coaching change there anyway, and that didn't even happen. And so they kept Pagano and they kept the general manager, because it looked like both of those guys were basically, you know, against each other. And then you would think that the owner would let go of one of the two, and he didn't let go of either one of them.
He ain't let go of the bottle either.
Nope. Sure didn't.
So, I mean, so the Hall of Fame game this weekend was canceled because of some issue with the paint on the field was rubbery and it was unsafe. What do you make of this? Again, the NFL actually didn't have anything to do with the preparation of the field. This was all on the Hall of Fame committee. So,
What's your take on this?
Whether the NFL was supposed to, you know, handle it or not, you know, it's something that's, you know, 3, 4, 5 months in the making. Everybody knows that this thing is coming up. So it's like for them not to, you know, have it ready, just makes no sense to me. I mean, you got to be able to prepare for, you know, things like that. That's not something that, you know, is this is not something to like where it's a, you know, like a storm coming through or, you know, nothing like that. It's something that could have been prevented. And they weren't able to get on top of it or handle it. And so people were not able to see a game on Sunday night.
You know, it's really, I think it's worse. It's, I don't know if it's worse for the fans or for those guys that are trying to make the team. I think that there's too many practice games as it is. And if college football can get by with classes and not have to deal with practice games, then I don't think that we need these preseason games so much. They want to do a couple scrimmage games just to kind of for marketing purposes, I guess. You know, whatever. I mean, you could, I guess some could justify that. Have 4 preseason games is ridiculous. And now they're adding games on to the postseason. So I think it's going to be to the point here that, you know, half the league is going to qualify for the playoffs. That's like,
yeah,
basketball.
The thing about it is they've been trying to, you know, either extend the season or, you know, try to do something about these preseason games. But, I mean, there's no way for, you know, these guys to, for these coaches are, you know, to properly be able to evaluate these, you know, other guys that are trying to make the team. So in order for them to try to reduce their rosters from 70 to 53, they need these preseason games. And the owners, you know, just want to, you know, get more money because, you know, in order for, you know, people to, you know, get season tickets, they have to buy preseason tickets as well. So it's basically, you know, a dilemma for, you know, most of these parties involved when it comes to the preseason.
See, I just don't feel it's completely necessary. That's just it, you know. I'd like to, you spray paint?
Oh, nah.
Sadly.
Oh, that's coming from.
Sound like a bottle of something. Sound like you better shake up some spray paint, paint one of those girls from Carnival. So in Puerto Rico, coming from like near downtown, there's this Walmart. So we would leave Walmart to get back on the highway to get back to Guaynabo, where we live, where our condo was. And on the wall, I mean, there's tons of art there, and they do tons of murals, some of them commissioned, some not. And they had this huge mural of a Puerto Rican woman that was naked. A dark Puerto Rican woman naked on the wall.
Right.
And it wasn't enough, just it was the big, and then they did it again, smaller. Like, And then it was funny because in the lower corner, somebody graffitied Tony the Tiger wearing a Darth Vader helmet. It was epic. So it's hard to say which is your favorite because Tony the Tiger wearing Darth Vader's mask is, yeah, that's awesome, kind of, yeah. But you got this giant natural, we'll call it natural mural. But it's crazy. It's just, you can get stuff like that all over San Juan.
Well, yeah, that's something that if I reach Puerto Rico one time, I'll have to see if I'll be able to find that and scope it out.
I'm just sorry, I'm getting distracted with these carnival pictures. I just be like camping out on the page looking at them. We should, what do you think they'd say if we put any of these on the website? What if we put slideshows of this on the website?
I don't know, maybe that'll, you know, get some, you know, traffic from other audiences to come on the website, I guess. Who knows? Maybe you should come over to Miami in October for that one.
When? October what?
October, what is that, 7th to the 10th?
My wife's birthday is on the 10th. I'll have to figure out a way. Couldn't happen on the 10th, though. Couldn't happen on that. And the 13th.
Well, maybe. All right. Maybe you could do this. Maybe you could come to Miami on the 9th and then get back to Tampa that night before the 10th, and then you'll be all right.
You said 7th to the 10th. What is it, just popping on the Friday and Saturday? What's going on Wednesday and Thursday? Wednesday and Thursday is booty or what?
Wednesday and Thursday is usually, you know, when some of the people come in. So there may be a few events here and there, you know, but it doesn't really pick up until, you know, Friday, Saturday, and then the parade thing is Sunday. So,
you know, my wife, this is how cool my wife is. My wife would be cool to go, but I don't, you know.
Yeah, but you'd only be able to watch.
Yeah. Maybe that is better. Maybe that's better. Maybe that's for the better. I don't need to get in trouble. I've stayed out of trouble 10 years. Been together 10 years. I've been able to stay out of trouble for 10 years. I don't need it.
That's good.
She let me take our friend on his bachelor party to Miami without any of them. It was Sel, Jaewoo, John, and me. I don't know who else. I told Costa to invite whoever. I was like, as long as I'm going, you're going, it's gonna be, you know, whatever. And we went on a little tour. It was a nice little tour. Had something to do with some diamonds and some Tootsies, you know. And we found ourselves in Brickell one night, too. By the way, the Blue Martini there is a considerable upgrade to the one in Tampa.
I wouldn't be surprised about that.
Like the atmosphere and the look, the scenery. Now the live talent though, at the one here, they're the little house band that they bring in here to do different popular music and Latin music, they're pretty good. Maybe rocking. I went there for a couple of networking events, evening networking events, which I've never really understood evening networking events because you never talk about networking stuff.
Yeah.
It's just an excuse for adults to go hang out with people and drink. I mean, it's the same excuse you already had. But I guess it's a way to say, hey, this is kind of a work-related thing. But I didn't see anybody doing work-related stuff there.
Me neither.
Honestly. I don't know. Maybe that was the point. I don't know. I was hoping to get new clients, and here I did. Just spent $30 in drinks. I was like, come on, man.
Like, how does that work?
I don't know. Like, try to pick up, hey, what do you do? I do this. Like, oh, wow, yeah, that's great. I need, yeah, you get another drink? Oh, man. What else? I had, there was a couple updates I wanted to do here for the Olympic updates. Michael Phelps won his 20th gold medal in the 200-meter butterfly. He was actually two seconds slower tonight in the butterfly than he was last night, which he actually finished second in, I think, last night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He actually won, and just after that, he won his 21st career gold medal and the 4x200 freestyle. Finished it in 7 66 hundredths of a second. This is 25th medal overall. The 19-year-old Katie Ledecky won the 200-meter freestyle for the women, which is her second individual gold medal of the Rio Olympics. So our swimmers are killing it. Hey, what's with the dude from South Africa, Meat Mug and Michael Phelps?
Oh, was it Meat Mugging or was it some other guy that was trying to distract him for
Australian?
The match?
Or was it the Australian dude? Which one?
I think it was Australian.
Was he? Was he?
Yeah.
Somebody need to get him a Foster's and chill out.
Yep.
You need a Foster's and chill. What are you looking at people crazy for? I feel like Michael Phelps would stab him in his eye. I don't know. I just have that feeling. Because Michael Phelps has that... That wild side, you know.
Yeah, it's a wild side, or it's like that weird look that he has on his face.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like that look when Anakin Skywalker was taken over by the Force.
Yeah.
I went into this night and I said, I'm going to figure out how to work a Star Wars drop in there. And I did it. Check. Are these the oldest gymnasts we've ever had?
Who?
Our female gymnasts. Isn't there like the oldest gymnasts we've had?
I don't know about that. I mean, I thought that, Gabby is, what, about 20?
Yeah. I thought, like, 16 was a cutoff. Like, you had to retire at 16.
Yeah, maybe, or something like that. 16. But I think
they
this
don't.
Is, like,
I
mean, this is...
I don't think you have to.
It was,
to,
like
but...
I was saying, they're, like, the, that team was, like, the dream team of, like, gymnastics, because... They basically had, like, all of the best, athletes in there. I mean, Gabby won gold in the last Olympics, and then even her coming back, she wasn't even like the best. She wasn't even like the best one in the whole team.
It killed it again. Man, I saw that, was the French guy that broke his leg?
Oh, yeah,
guy,
yeah.
It was crazy because he lands wrong. He has this Thiago Silva stuff happened to the leg, broken it. He sits up, looks at it. He just says, "Oi," and then just patiently waits for the training staff to gingerly jog over. They didn't rush. Like, it wasn't like, oh, my gosh, let's immobilize the leg. No, they jogged over like, hey.
Looks like you have something wrong with your leg there.
Does that hurt? Well, I have some adrenaline going right now. I'd say let's fix this before it wears off.
All right.
Twice over. Please. My wife's in there watching the Olympics now. We are watching it on the NBC Olympic app, and she was getting frustrated with it. She's like, I hate having to watch this sport individually. And I was like, what? So my wife wants an NFL red zone version of the Olympics. She wants to just see a bunch of shit simultaneously and then go into one for a minute and then switch off to another one, which I'm going to admit sounds like a freaking brilliant idea, but I'm just thinking like...
But it's the Olympics, and there's
the
like...
Olympics.
Hey, it's not like they have all of the sports that you really want to watch in the Olympics going on at the same time, so...
This is the largest collection of sports that people are fans of for 2 weeks and never again for 4 years. Like,
yeah, of course, yeah.
How many times in the next, 4 years are you going to watch table tennis if you're not in college, living in a dorm? I'm guessing none. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, field hockey? Like, outside of PE class, where the hell do you even play field hockey? Like, I wouldn't even know
exactly
how to go do that. Where do I get equipment for field hockey? Dix doesn't have it. Is it Amazon only?
Not even Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime has everything. I bought my wife, because it's crazy, because my wife, around that time of year, is the time of year where our phone contract stuff renews, so we upgrade our phones. So she always gets a new phone for her birthday. And I got a bunch of cases, and now she has the car. I got a different car. So she should be set. Set. Last year, it was, we went to Dominican Republic. That was, we delayed our annual vacation. No, it wasn't Dominican Republic. What was it? Went somewhere else. No, because if we went to Dominican Republic, like, it would have been 2 weeks ago. It would be a year and 2 weeks ago. We were in the Dominican Republic, which is awesome. I don't know, have you done Carnival in Dominican Republic yet?
Nah, there really isn't, that type of thing there over in Dominican Republic, as far as I know.
Well, it's a beautiful place to visit, so pencil that in sometime. We're going to the Caribbean in October on a Disney cruise, which my wife booked out of nowhere. Which I appreciate, because I think if my wife wouldn't book these things, I'd probably only go to football games. that's sporting events. That would be it. Other than that, I don't know. It's just you work, 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 dar, you know?
Right.
What is she saying? Is it a Virgin Island phrase? I mean,
she's from Barbados. Know?
She's from Barbados? Is it? What is she
right.
saying? Is it, I just got work. That's all I got. Everything is basically unintelligible after that.
Yeah, pretty much it kind of is, but it's still, you know, it's still like one of the hottest songs that's been out this year, so.
It's a hot beat. You get a good beat and everybody go dance to it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I got that picture. Remember the that wifey? I said I found a wifey for you. Did I tell you that? I told you that. I screenshotted it, so I have to send that over to you.
All right.
I got a screenshot of it, so I'll have to send it over. You and
all right, cool.
Carnival. Because she's a Carnival chick. She's so yeah. Okay. And he's going to wipe her up real quick. Or not, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I'll send it over here. Let me find it. But I'll send it over here. Last thing I wanted to talk about, we only got like 5 minutes left. Tim Tebow has decided he's going to be a professional baseball player now. Gary Sheffield seems to support that. And says within 2 years he'd be playing in the majors. There's a couple independent teams that evidently have reached out and said they would be willing to sign him. But they're independent teams, so, you know, they have an owner. So he's just thinking of ticket sales there. So what do you think of Tim Tebow as a baseball player?
I don't know. I think he's just trying to, you know, stay relevant as a sports athlete. I mean, to me, what I don't understand is that, you know, all those times where he tried to, you know, get onto an NFL team and knew that he couldn't make it, what he could have done was he could have went on over to the CFL and tried to, you know, make a team there and make a name there, you know, and he could have, he already had appeal here in the United States. He could have had appeal in Canada as well if he did that.
But it's Canada.
It is Canada, but, I mean, still, football is football. And, you know, people have, you know, made their names in other sports leagues too. I mean, like I said, Kurt Warner made his name in the AFL, so, you know. So, I mean, he was able to get a start in the AFL before, you know, having NFL success. Then I don't see why, you know, Tebow could have tried doing it in the CFL.
You got those pictures?
Hold on a minute.
Take a minute. It's an opportunity. You figure if you want to be an athlete and somebody's going to pay you to do it, I mean, take the opportunity. I mean,
time out.
Yeah.
You know, I actually know who that is.
You do?
Yes, I do.
For real?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I figured who that is.
Well, shit, then you better get at it. You saw where that's from, right? You saw where that's from. You saw where that's from, right? The screenshot?
Yeah.
Oh, social media. Can't hide on social media. People
no,
try.
You can, no.
People
no,
try.
Can.
I don't know why. You cannot hide on social
either.
Media.
Sure cannot.
Grady
there's
showed me that
no
the other
way.
Day.
Yeah, there's no way out of it. Nope.
She's nice.
Yeah.
We don't know her.
But yeah. Yeah, I know who she is.
We'll have to talk about that more later.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
So you said the 9th and 10th, right?
That is correct. Yep, that is correct.
The 9th and 10th, huh?
So you can get more acquainted.
But that's how the festivals are. It's about love, right? It's about love.
Right.
It's about love and celebrating life. And
correct.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good place to end the show at. I don't know about you, but that's going to do us all for this week. Be sure to head on over to thechtonsports.com. We've got a bunch of new articles up over there, including the one by Kevin Crest. Is the latest. 4 weeks to go to college football kickoff, and it's the first look at the ACC is where he started off this year. So be sure to go over there and check that out on the website. You can head over to social media, Facebook, for example, at the CHT on Sports, and you can vote for us. The show and podcast has been nominated in Best of Tampa Bay for Best Internet Radio Show and Podcast. So be sure to go over there and vote for the show. I'm also under a couple categories over there. If it says writer or sports, I'm probably under there. So go check that out. Vote. James, what do you have for people on Sunday for the Boxing Source?
Pretty much going to be talking about the upcoming fights that are going to be pretty much happening on the next week. Errol Spencer will be going up against Leonard Bundu in an IBF Eliminator fight coming up on, I think it's the 21st. So we'll be talking about that among other things on the in the sports world.
That's awesome. Olympic boxing. Probably going to hear a little bit more about that Sunday because we'll have they should be into the quarterfinals by then, right?
Yeah, should be.
All right. Well, I look forward to that. That's all for this week. We're out here on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. Later.
Welcome to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. I apologize in advance if I am out of line here.